Today is episode 4. I can't believe it. It's going so quick. But today I have a guest again. I can't believe it. After the pay I gave her last time, which was zero, I offered her zero raises, and she has accepted to come back to join us again. Welcome back, Mrs. Mo. How are you doing?
Hi, everyone. Actually, I want to say that I am not just a short-term person. I'm actually going to be a resident here.
What do you mean? I know you're not a short-term person because you're pretty tall, but I don't mean, what do you mean by resident?
I meant that I am not just a guest. I'm going to be here permanently, hopefully.
Hopefully. So you did leave a little bit of room that I could wiggle out of this if I need to find some other guests? Or
well, maybe if I get my Lucid, you can wiggle out of it. Oh.
Well, that's definitely something that we have in the works. Hopefully, with CCIV stock price rising 40% since its low, that will become something that we can do, definitely. So I heard some things going on here. What were you mumbling about?
Well, I just was really upset with you.
What'd I do? Now what I do.
So you just stole Tesla Cat away from me, and I just don't know what to do about it. He used to be my cat.
Yeah, I understand that. Now I can just take him away anytime I want to go out there and yell, Tesla Cat! Tesla Cat! He'll come running down the stairs with me, and he'll go right in the studio. I actually use that as a weapon against you now. I don't want you to be upset about this, but I thought on air here, I should let everyone know I do steal her cat. He wouldn't even let me pet him until I started making YouTube videos, and he would not even get near me, and I never did anything to him. I always wanted to be nice to him, but he would run away. And then when I started going in the studio, he became my best friend. At least I think he is.
You know what I just thought? I think that actually it's not that he likes you. It's that he likes the camera. I think that he's just a camera hog.
Well, you know, that's one of the other things, too. We're getting all kinds of fan mail, but you know what most of it is? It's going to him. It's going to Tesla Cat.
Yeah.
And a lot of pictures coming from people saying they have a young lady kitty that is looking for a husband. And, you know, I'm not about not putting him out there for stud services. I'm sure he won't mind, but you know, we could use the extra income, but I don't know if Tesla Cat is ready to settle down.
You know, there were a lot of young lady cats out there that were willing to share their tender vittles with him.
Yeah, I know, and I appreciate that. And if times get tight around here, I will be sending him out to be on his own and find residence somewhere else. Let's hope it would never get to that point.
Right. So are you ready to get
started? I am. I'm excited today. We have a whole bunch of questions. Like I said, for those who are new to this podcast, we reach out to our Patreon members, and I have a link down below in the description to Patreon where you can come over. I have my portfolios. We have a private Discord with thousands of members. We just got good things going on over there. All right, before we get started with the first question, I do want to say if you are interested in having your questions sent in, I do put it over there at the Patreon. I have a link down below for anyone who would like to give support to the channel here. And of course, we have an email special just for all the Patreon members to throw your question out there. We'll come on here and answer it, as well as a fantastic link to Webull to get 2 free stocks right now. Put $100 in there and you get a shot at $1,850 in free stocks. I get 1 free share because I'm an affiliate. It's a win-win for both of us. But besides that, let's go ahead and get into our first question.
Okay, so we are starting with Scott's question. Hi, Scott. It says, hi, Mo. I'm pushing 55 years old. I owe about $80,000 on my house. I do have a regular TD Ameritrade account, which I started a year and a half ago with $5,000. Wow, it's now up to $20,000. Nice. I've decided to make this my payoff the house account. Would cashing it out when it's at the payoff amount be worth it? I know I will pay taxes on it, but taxes versus a paid off mortgage is the question.
Well, I get this question a lot. You know, I remember people asking me this back when I was a financial advisor way back ago. And they would say, should I pay off my house and go into retirement mortgage free, or should I leave the money in there, let it grow with some safe, you know, bonds, some government, some CDs, some government bonds, you know, the things that'll guarantee them some income with very little risk? And the answer always comes down to basically your financial situation, what you would like to do, how much money we're talking about. And for you, looking at your, first of all, I want to say, wow, turning $5,000 in a year and a half, 18 months, you took it up from $5,000 all the way up to four times your money to $20,000. I was really impressed by that. I'd actually love to have a follow-up from you and hear what stock or stocks got you up to that level, because that's an impressive gain. I'm guessing you had a lot of money in a very few amount of stocks and they took off for you, which is good. But I would say this, if you look at your mortgage, and I'll give you two ways to look at this. You can have the old school way of saying, hey, if you sleep better at night knowing your house is paid for, nothing can happen to that, and paying it off with that money allows you to relax more in retirement, go for it. And then you have the other mathematical way. If you have a 3.5% interest rate on your mortgage and you can deduct the interest, and that helps a little bit during tax season, and you can put money into a CD or a bond that is, you know, really highly rated, or the market in general, and you feel that you can get above a 3.5% return, and after taxes, of course, of all your gains, then it makes sense to leave the money in the market and keep making your payments, because the money's going to work harder for you, if that makes sense. So hopefully, Scott, you continue to move that $20,000 and do the same thing again and get it up to $80,000 in the next year and a half. I'm hoping that happens.
Okay, great. Hey, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, what's up?
So I was just wondering if you wore your green shirt today.
Well, of course I wore my green shirt. You know, I did that whole DNA test. I'm not silly. I went out there and I did the DNA test, and I said I'm mostly Irish out of everything that makes me up. So, of course, it's St. Patrick's Day today, St. Patty's Day. And, you know, I put a little green hat on Tesla Cat. And I know we have that picture over at the Patreon and the Discord of him walking around with a little clover on his head. So, of course I wore green. And the market better do well, you know. And like I said, when we're doing this podcast right now, we're hoping that the market does well and finishes green. You never know anymore, because the Fed's coming out at 2 and we're doing this slightly before 2 o'clock. And we'll see how it finishes up, because one word out of the Fed at 2, that changes the whole market. But yes, I got the green shirt on. You guys will see it. It has diamonds on it. And that's probably my diamond hands for the Tesla stock I own.
Well, so, because I was going to say that people do not like your red shirts anymore.
I know. I'm not going to burn them. I like those red shirts. They're some of my favorite bowling shirts.
Okay. You are only allowed to wear them on the weekends.
I get that. You bought me 5 brand new shirts. 4 of them were green. So I get where you're going.
Did everyone hear that?
Yes.
I did buy some new green shirts. Yep. So hopefully that helps influence the market.
Yep. Moving on. Next question.
Okay. So the next question is from Harish. And Harish says, listen to your first podcast. He gives it a thumbs up. His question is, what is your exit strategy? You always mentioned that on a red day you buy. I wonder, if I am 100% invested, where do I get the money from to buy those bitten stocks on red days?
That's a great question, because, you know, when you're going through a long period of red days, we went through 4.5 weeks in the NASDAQ of the market being down, and it can get tough. And because you got to come up with a strategy, and a strategy can't last forever. You're not made of unlimited funds. And so, you know, I always tell people, when you have a portfolio, you should try to keep, you know, 15 to 20% on the sidelines in cash or in some kind of money market where you get a little teeny interest, just in case the red days come, and then you can take a little bit, add it into the market. As you continue to build into that, you can move the money over into the market. And then if you have a major red downturn like we just did, you can start figuring out, I want to put in 2.5% of that money over the next 8 weeks, or over, you know, the average downturn, I believe, is 3 to 4 months for a correction. And so I always tell people, try to average it out around 3.5 to 4 months. So you're looking at 16 weeks. So if you have 20%, 16 weeks, you can divide that by 8, divide your 20% by 8, put in 2.5% of your money on the sideline into stocks every week during that downturn. And after that's dollar cost averaging. After those 8 weeks are up, now you're out of money, but hopefully we're out of the correction as well, and you can start moving in. But if you don't have the money, like you said, you have it all in, you're 100% in, where do you get that additional funds? I give you a prime example of what I did this week. I have my leverage fund. I put $100,000 in, for those following me on the YouTube channel. Link down below, shameless plug. But anyways, I put $100,000 in there. One of the stocks I had in there was doing very well, is FAS, banking stock, and triple leverage. It went up about 50%. So I wanted to move. I have 3 stocks all in the tech industry, and I wanted to move one of them into a different industry. I actually wanted to buy two different industries. So I ended up selling the 50% I was up in profit. I sold one third of the shares to take me down to my original $20,000 position. And so I had like $10,000 profit. I sold that, and I sold the $10,000 worth of stock. And I took, then I moved one of my three tech play stocks. I sold that completely. And then I had about $30,000, a little over, and I split that, and I added a couple bucks in, but you don't have to do that. And I split that between two new positions. So now, instead of having five positions in my leverage, I have six. And so it gave me a little bit more diversity. I moved out of being 60% tech into 40% tech. And I did that because if the rates continue to go higher, if the Fed comes out and says, hey, we're going to let the bond rates, we're not going to do anything to help, we're going to let them go, and we have, you know, some uncontrolled bond movement. Remember, we were in a 40-year bond bull run, and that just ended, in case you didn't know that. The bonds have dropped over 20%, and that's something you have to be concerned about. And so you got to play a little bit defensive, and that's what I did. And so one of the things you can do with yours, look at some of those gainers, sell off some of the profits, and then move some of that money into different positions, or just put it on the sideline ready to buy down the road. All right, what do you got for the next one?
Well, first, I just wanted to say that you're really smart.
I'm really,
really proud of you.
The smartest thing I ever did was marry you.
Go ahead. I love you.
It's not Valentine's Day, Sky. So I'm hoping for a green beer later. So.
Did you get me a St. Patrick's Day present?
A six-pack of green beer.
We'll have to tell him some beer stories someday.
Someday.
Okay. All right, let's get back to this. So Jim says, you seem to have had a positive effect on my misguided oldest son. Thank you. You are also more conservative than I thought you would be. My son convinced me to join. It didn't take too much persuasion. He has done well when he followed your advice and not his own.
That's funny. I keep trying to tell my boys the same thing, and my daughters out there. They're smart kids, and I have them investing. All three of my kids invest, and it's one of the best things we can do, Jim, is to get our kids investing. One of the things they did in a study is anybody, you know, teenagers up, if they start investing at that age, they are more likely than not to be financially successful compared to those who never invested through those early years. So you're already doing fantastic, and I love that. So I am more conservative. I do watch a lot of other people out there, and I do pay attention to some of the YouTube channels, and I see a lot of these high risk penny stocks and high risk meme stocks and high risk just retail stocks out there that go up 100, 200% in a day or two. And then I have a lot of people ask me about those. And, you know, after the pop, it's kind of too late for a lot of those. And you'll see a lot of bag holding. You'll see them coming down. You can look at, you know, even GameStop. I know it's over $200-something a share at the time of us making this. But at one time, think about it. It was over $300 a share, and it was moving. And so some of these stocks you got to be very careful with. So I look at more of the fundamentals. I like to look at the fundamentals. It's kind of boring. Look at the value play. Oh, he bought Citigroup way back in the day because that appeared. Forward PE of 9, and never, it's just a bank. It's boring, but now look, it's up 50, 60% since we got in it, and it's outperforming some of the big tech ones, the EV ones. So when you look at the fundamentals through uncertain times like we're in now, they're the ones that can give you the consistent returns that you're trying to get. And if you start making your portfolio set up based on fundamentals, you won't be disappointed. Even during the downturns, you should be right around where the market is, if not beating the market. And of course, our goal here when you come over to the Patreon is always to beat the market, and we're pretty good at doing that.
Very nice.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, very nice. Okay, our next question, it's actually two different people asked somewhat of the same question, so I'm just going to read both. One's from Tina and one's from Ryan. The one from Tina says, what are your thoughts on gold? I bought GLD about 6 months ago. It's done nothing but go down. Do you think it will ever recover? I'm assuming people are hedging the dollar with Bitcoin now instead of gold and silver. And then another member, Ryan, said, just curious on your thoughts about holding physical precious metals. I personally have silver and gold and wonder if it's good to hold for long term, or am I just wasting my time when I could be investing it elsewhere?
Well, I do like metals. I personally buy silver myself. I like to buy it, and I usually just buy some silver off of eBay and rolls of 1964 quarters or back when they're made up of, I believe it's 90% silver. And so that's the way I get some exposure to actually having the metals on hand. That stems from me going out with a metal detector when I was a kid. I remember going down to the park and my dad gave me a metal detector to use, his metal detector, and I went down when I was, 11, 10 years old, and I remember getting a beep and I dug it up and it was a silver dime. And boy, I was so excited. And that got me addicted to trying to find silver, and Pop's telling me, you know, that's going to be worth a lot down the road. And so then as I got older, I could find silver and change, and then I just saved it all and I threw it in a box. Now the box is pretty heavy. And now when I'm older, I keep buying more and more rolls of silver quarters when I want to hedge against inflation. It's still a great way to hedge. And gold, I would love to buy gold. I never had the money when I grew up to be able to buy gold. But, you know, gold is definitely something you should pay attention to. I'm going to give you some numbers right now for both of you. Between 1971, January, all the way up to June 2019. So this is a little over a year ago. The gold had an average annual return of 10.44%. That means, you know, every year, if you had gold for that long, you're averaging 10.44%. That is fantastic. And so when you think, gold had that big run up, silver had run up. I know that over the last year, and now it's selling off a little bit. And that's some of the things you have to watch when you're getting into these. And I know some people were talking about crypto. Is Bitcoin becoming that new replacement for gold and silver? Is it, you know, can you buy stocks in gold or silver? Should I own the metal, right? You know, have it in my, at home, sitting in my safe somewhere? You know, how should we do this? And I still believe gold will be good long term. Like I said, over the last almost 40 years, we're averaging 10%. That is a fantastic return. It's hard to argue with those results. And it's one that, you know, I would say if you really want to have a well-diversified portfolio, having gold in there as a percentage, and you can talk to a financial advisor. Everything we do talk about on here, like I always say, is for entertainment only. And that's something that you would have to go ahead and take a look at and see where you're going to go with that. At the end of the day, it is a good investment for the long run.
You know, it's the little pleasures in life. And I always remember you looking through some of those coins and how you'd come across a silver coin and how excited you would be. So I can just imagine you as a little boy.
I used to love that. Yeah, I used to go out and I called it bank metal detecting. I would go down to the bank and buy $100 worth of half dollars. And I would go through each one of those half dollars and be about 200 of them. And I would always find some silver half dollars. And then I would take those half dollars, go to another bank and cash them into my other account, and then get the money and go back to the other bank and do it over. Rinse and repeat. And boy, I got so many silver half dollars doing that. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, they became much, much rarer to find. It was easier when I was a younger kid. But now that I'm getting up there in the years, I just make it easy on myself. I go out and just buy them through eBay and buy the rolls I need.
Very nice. Well, you know what? We are at our last question. Time flies when you have fun.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, so this is our last question from Jason. It says, I've heard you talk about selling a stock and locking in a profit loss for taxing purposes. I know this is super important. A lot of people have been talking about this.
Oh, yeah, especially after 4.5 weeks of red.
Yes. My question is, what are the different strategies for taking a loss versus continuing to hold until the market improves that position? I also thought you mentioned something about not jumping back in for a month, something about a wash. Yeah. If you come back to that same stock you sold, what are the pitfalls come tax time?
All right. Now, first thing I got to say is I'm not an accountant, so anything I'm going to tell you here is based on my recollection and what I believe to be the right way to do it. But basically is this. I'll give you an example. And my numbers are different than this, but I'm going to use it for an example and just say that during these last 4.5 weeks, you lost $10,000. You had stocks with red equaling up to $10,000. I know I had a slew. My portfolio, I sold a ton of red, and I let everybody over at the Patreon know I was selling it, and I got out of it, and then I locked in those losses, and we'll just say they were $10,000. Instantly that same day, though, I turned around, bought new stocks that were different because I did not want a wash sale. A wash sale is where you sell the stock, get a loss, and then you buy it again in under 30 days. It can take away from your tax advantage there, and that's something you want to talk to the accountant about. But you know, I believe it's up to $3,000 a year you can write off, and that's if you have a loss for the year. And if you have gains, the losses go against the gains. And so for my example, I'm going to say $10,000 was lost, and then I turned around, bought brand new stocks. And since then, and I, you know, today was a little red, but before today, we got almost, I believe we'll just say we got it all back. And we are back to even from where we started from the drop. And so say you were $10,000 down, and now you're back to even. And so if I held the stock, that's one option. I don't get a tax loss. I don't have a loss at all. I don't have any gains. I'm just even. So the market went down, went back up, we're even. Now, the way I did it is that once it was down $10,000, I sold it, and I bought other stocks that will react very similar to that stock. And then the market went back up, and I'm even. The difference between the person who doesn't take advantage of tax losses and myself is that when it comes tax season, they have nothing to write off, and they have no gains to have to pay taxes on. Now me, I have no gains either because we're even just like that person, but I give my accountant this paper. It says I have $10,000 in realized tax losses. And now he goes ahead and he can say, hey, here you go. Now, you're going to get a refund of this. And just say, I always like to use the top tax bracket, 37%. It's what we're all striving for. And I'm hearing they're going to pushing that up to 39.7, so almost 40%. You would be able to get 40% back off of $3,000 this year. That's $1,200. Basically, off that 10 grand over three or four years, you're going to get back $4,000 in taxes. Now, but we do have a gain down below from when we bought. And that gain, if we hold it for a year, will only be taxed at a maximum of 20%. So that 20% of the $10,000 worth of profit will be $2,000 that we'll pay and in taxes. And the money we got back was $4,000. And so that saves me a net gain of $2,000 doing it that way. And every dollar matters when you're an investor. You want to make sure you're taking advantage of the tax code and you're doing everything you can to make sure you're doing okay. And that's one of the long-term strategies of tax, using taxes to your advantage in there. Now, that's something to think about. Sit down with your accountant. It can get very complicated making sure you avoid wash sales and making sure your tax situation warrants what you're doing.
Very nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
It's good.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm not an accountant because I had 401 pages of trades.
Wow.
Yeah, he's going to have fun with that.
Yeah, he sure is. Well, yeah. You do a really good job of explaining, though, so I think that people appreciate that.
Yeah, that's some good stuff.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Good stuff.
Well, we're
that's
pretty
it.
Much done.
That's it.
Can you believe it?
I was going to let you do the outro, but you know what? I'll handle it. It's
oh,
okay.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah.
So, it would not sound right if I did it.
So, everyone, it is all. We are finished here. Hopefully, you enjoyed this. If you'd like to come over and give us support, please come over and check out the Patreon. Just search StockMo Patreon or look in the link down in the description. You will see a link going to there. I do have the link to Webull as well. Get those two free stocks. It takes a couple of minutes. You put $100 in. You might be walking out of here with $1,850 in free stocks. That's all we got for you. I had a really good time. I might even ask Mrs. Mo back to the next podcast because I definitely like having a partner in crime here and it makes it easier on me. So from Stock Mo saying goodbye.
Mrs. Mo saying thanks for listening.
Yeah, that's all we have for you today. So like I always say, let's get out there and make some money.